Let's look to the book of Amos, chapter number 2. Amos, chapter 2. The title of the message this morning is Standing at the Time of Judgment. Standing at the Time of Judgment. We're going to read here in Amos, chapter 2. And let's stand together and read here in verse number 14. Amos, chapter 2, and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Therefore the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself. Neither shall he stand that handleth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. Neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord." In the day of God's judgment, it's not going to matter how strong or how mighty or how courageous we were. We cannot stand on our own. We're not going to be able to stand on our own in the day of the judgment of the Lord. Let's pray and we'll look at this together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts now this morning in this time. Thank you for our children. Thank you for their singing. And Lord, their love for you as little children, Lord, and as young people, teenagers, Lord, we just ask you to bless all the children, help them to continue to love you and live for you. May they never turn aside from their faith in you. Help them never to become dependent upon themselves, but to continue to trust you. And I pray for adults, too, that they would trust you and depend on you. If someone is trusting in themselves for salvation, I pray that today would be the day they realize they cannot save themselves and there's no other hope but Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to speak to our heart during this time. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Turn with me, if you would, back to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, towards the middle of your Bible, Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm 1. We already read it there in Amos. We see that in the day of judgment, no man's strength can save them. Doesn't matter how courageous they are, it cannot help them in the day of God's judgment. Here in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, I want you to look there to verse number 4. Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 4. Here the Bible says this: "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The Bible says the ungodly will not be able to stand in the time of God's judgment. You see, God knows everything. God knows our hearts. God knows every word we've ever spoken. God knows every thought of our mind, and God knows every motive and every intent of our heart. God knows every sin we've ever committed, and we cannot fool God. We cannot fool Him. The ungodly and on our own, we could never stand before God in a time of judgment. God knows that and every one of us would stand before Him as ungodly, unclean sinners. And we have no hope in our own righteousness. We have no hope in our own strength. We have no hope in our own good works, because, you know something, even at our best, we're still sinners. It doesn't matter how righteous you may claim to be or think you are. At our best, we're still sinners. None of us can stand before God and claim, "Well, I'm perfect like you, God. I've never committed a sin. I've never done wrong." No, we've all sinned. We've all sinned, and we cannot stand before God on our own. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. Our only hope is His righteousness. Yes, the Bible says the ungodly shall not stand in the time of judgment. Yes, the Bible says that the ungodly shall not perish. So that in itself, that doesn't give me much hope. But my hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. John chapter 3 verse 16, many of you know it, could quote it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm glad my hope is in Jesus Christ today. Because my hope is in Him, and because my faith is in Him, I will never perish. I know that I have eternal life. I know that I've been saved and forgiven of my sins. Turn with me here to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, if you still have your Bible open there. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 4. Psalm chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says this: "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." God's not pleased with wickedness. He says, "Neither shall evil dwell with thee." Listen, if I'm a sinner and I can't dwell with, and evil can't dwell with God, then that wouldn't give me much hope of heaven except outside of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 5. "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight." The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Listen, we'd have no hope except for Jesus. Turn with me over to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, if you would, and chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I came to realize a long time ago that I can't stand on my own. I can't stand before God as perfect and clean and righteous and holy. I'm a sinner. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And may I say that all includes all. That all includes everybody. That includes you and that includes me. We've all sinned. And we've all come short of the glory of God. We can't measure up to God's standard of holiness and perfection. If we were to try to stand before God one day at a time of judgment, we would stand before Him unclean and ungodly. And we'd have no hope. But my hope is in Jesus Christ. Christ died for the ungodly. Look at Romans 5 and verse number 6. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, "Ungodly, we can't stand before Him except for what Jesus Christ did for us." Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. In Romans 5 and verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's sure a good thing. Because the ungodly is not going to stand at the time of judgment. It doesn't matter what strength we have and even what courage we have. We cannot stand at the time of God's judgment except for Christ. Except for Christ. We cannot stand before God on our own, but through Christ we can. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15, the Bible says this: "O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous. Behold, we are before Thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before Thee because of this." Listen, he says, "Lord God, Thou art righteous. We are before Thee in our trespasses, in our sins, in our iniquities, in the wrongs that we've done. We cannot stand before Thee because of this." You know what? That was a very honest evaluation of themselves. That was a very honest evaluation of their situation, where they realized, we can't stand before You, God. We can't stand before You in our trespasses. We can't stand before You in our sins. We need to understand this morning that God is holy and God is a righteous God. And we are ungodly. We might not like to think of ourselves that way, but we are ungodly. By nature, we are on a bent away from God, not towards God. We're ungodly. I'm ungodly. I'm sinful. And we cannot stand before God on our own. We cannot stand before God in the time of judgment on our own. Our only hope is in the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 130, if you would. Psalm chapter 130. In verse 3 of that chapter, it says, "If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God was up there with a pen and He was always writing down every sin I'd ever committed or ever will commit, boy, I'd be in big trouble. I'm sure glad for what the Bible teaches about how we're justified in all the sins of our past when we get saved. They're all forgiven. They're all washed away. And instead, the righteousness of Christ is placed onto our record. We know from Psalms and from the book of Romans as well, where He tells us and promises us, we're blessed because God will not impute sin. God will not record sin. God will not write down sin on our record anymore. If you've been saved, our hope is Christ, because we have His righteousness now on our record. But if a person's never received Christ, they have no hope. Every mark, every sin, every iniquity they've ever committed, it's still there. There's a mark. There's those sins there on our record. Our only hope to have those taken away and forgiven is the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 130 here in verse, notice verse number 1. Psalm chapter 130. We'll begin reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says this: Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? God, if you're just marking, if you're writing down, if you're keeping track of all our iniquities, God, I could never stand before you. I'd have no hope. Verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Our only hope is Jesus. Our only hope is Jesus. I've sung a song before. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price for all my sin on Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. No merit of my own is anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive. You see, because I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior many years ago, that moment, all my sins and iniquities, they were covered. They were washed away. God has promised to never record, to never mark, to never record and write down another one of my sins on that record. Instead, I have the righteousness of Christ placed over my name. God looks at me as righteous because he doesn't look and just see me. He sees Christ. He sees Christ's righteousness. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price for all my sin on Calvary. How true it is. We can only stand before God one day because Christ stood in our place on the cross of Calvary. Christ took our place. He stood where we deserve to stand. He paid the price that you and I deserve to pay for our sins. Died on the cross of Calvary, and he shed his blood for you and for me. The psalmist there in chapter 130 was very honest about the predicament that we're all in. We're in trouble if we have to stand before God on our own. We're in trouble if we have to come to God and say, God, am I good enough to get into heaven? God, am I good enough to be your child? None of us are. None of us are. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? None of us would be able to stand before you. But then the writer goes on and shares a glorious truth where he says in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I'm glad I know a God who will forgive and a God who will pardon. I'm glad I know a God who is merciful and gracious unto us in spite of our sin. In verse 8, the psalmist said, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Plenty. A whole bunch of it. There's enough redemption for you, and for me, and for you, Todd, and for you, Daniel, and for you, Anthony, for every one of us. God is plenteous in redemption. He's got enough to spare for everyone. He will show his mercy, and he will forgive us of our sins if we'll just believe on him, receive him as our Savior. We could never stand on our own. At the time of judgment, we could never stand on our own. But if we know Christ as our Savior, we can stand before him forgiven and justified. You might say too, what are you talking about judgment? You know, standing before God at a time of judgment. You know what the Bible teaches us about a couple judgments where people will stand before him. The Bible tells us we'll all stand before God at one of two judgments. Turn back with me, if you would, to the New Testament, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And we're going to look there at verse number 10 and verse number 12. Romans 14 and verse 10 and 12. Do I really think we're all going to stand before God one day and be judged? Yes, I do. The Bible teaches us about two different judgments. Here in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. The Bible says this: "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And then in verse 12 he says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." You're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27 it says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There is coming a day when God will judge every single person that has ever walked upon the face of the earth." But I believe that there are two different judgments that are referred to in the Bible. I believe there's going to be one judgment for believers and one judgment for unbelievers. One judgment for those who did receive Christ as their Savior, and one judgment for those that did not receive Christ as their Savior. The judgment for the unbelievers we refer to as the great white throne judgment. Turn with me to the book of Revelation and chapter number 20, the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20 and we're going to look there at verse 11 to 15. The first judgment we want to talk about is this judgment for unbelievers, the great white throne judgment. Here in Revelation chapter number 20, beginning there in verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." You know, we've talked sometimes, and I've given you sometimes in Bible studies some examples of books and with a name there and the sins and iniquities marked there and so on. Listen, the Bible says that the books are opened. The books for the lives of those people, the dead who are going to be judged there before God. But there's also going to be another book brought out, that book of life, or the Lamb's book of life, we often call it. But the unbelievers are going to be judged here at this judgment. Notice verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, as much as you and I may not like it, all those who have rejected God, all those who have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Bible tells us they will be judged. And they will be judged for their sins, and they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's an awful thing, and that's an awful judgment. And the Bible tells us that God really made the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. But those who reject Christ and those who won't believe the gospel, the Bible says that they will be judged also for their sins. Listen, they're not going to be able to stand before God very well in that day and say, but I was a good neighbor, but I was a good person. They're lost for eternity. And they will be separated from God for all eternity in the lake of fire. That's real. And that's an awful place. And it's going to be an awful judgment for those who won't believe Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Savior. That's the second death. In Revelation 21, there in verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Doesn't matter how great of a sinner we were, or how small of a sinner we think we were, if a person has not received Christ, they'll be lost for eternity. They'll be lost. They'll be judged. Listen, we can't stand before God in that day and, "God, but I was a good person." No, we were lost. We didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, in that day, it's not going to matter how strong a man was or how wealthy a man was or what they have. You can't buy off God. We've got no hope unless we've trusted Christ. The only those who will be saved from that day of judgment are those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. person's name not never been written down, never been recorded, if a person's never been saved, then they're lost for all eternity. The important thing then is this: how do we get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We must receive Christ as our Savior. We must trust on Him. We must believe on Him and Him alone as our one and only hope for salvation. We can't save ourselves. We can't stand before God in that judgment. We must be saved. We cannot make it to heaven on our own. We cannot save ourselves. We're all sinners. We're all imperfect. We're all sinful human beings. Not only are we born with a sinful nature ever since the time that Adam and Eve sinned, but since then, all of us have deliberately and willingly chosen to disobey God and chosen to do those things that are wrong. We have sinned against God, and we often break His laws and His commandments. Our righteousness and our good works are still not enough to save us. They're not enough to take us to heaven. At our best, we're still sinners. Our only hope is Christ. Your only hope is Jesus Christ. If you want to be spared from God's judgment, if you want to be able to stand before God as righteous, you must have your faith in Jesus Christ. No one will be able to stand before God at that great white throne judgment and stand before Him as, well, I'm good enough. I'm good enough to go to heaven. Oh, you'll let me in the pearly gates. You'll let me into heaven. No, we'll be judged for eternity if a person's not been saved. Those who will stand before God at that judgment are dead spiritually. They've not been born again. They've never trusted Christ as their Savior and received God's gift of salvation. I sure hope that's none of you. I sure hope that that's no one here this morning. I hope that sincerely and honestly you have believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've received Him as your Savior. I would hate to think that you could come and you could sit in church and have not received Christ as your Savior. Because if you don't, you'll be lost for all eternity. Our only hope is Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The only hope we have for standing before God in the time of judgment is to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and to truly be saved. That's our only hope to stand. We've got no other ability to stand before God unless we've trusted Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Wherein ye stand. If you're going to be able to stand before God and be declared righteous, it won't be because of your righteousness. It'll be because you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because only then are our sins forgiven. Only then is the righteousness of Christ placed onto your record. You can only stand before God if you've received Christ as your Savior. Look back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and look there at verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and beginning there in verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." You know, some would maybe mock and make fun of those, oh, believers and those that believe in the cross and those that believe in Jesus. Listen, to them it may be foolishness, but unto us it is the power of God. Unto us it is salvation. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. God doesn't want that we can glory in and of ourselves. The Bible is so clear in other places that salvation is not something where we've worked for, we've earned it, and because we're such a good person, we can stand before God, look at me, I'm so good, that's why you'll let me into heaven. No, none of us are good. We have nothing to glory in of ourselves, nothing to boast in of ourselves. Our only hope to stand before God is if we've received Jesus Christ as our Savior. No flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. Our only hope to glory is glorying in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is your Savior. Oh, to stand before God one day, think about it, to stand in glory, to stand in heaven, and to be there with your Savior one day. Do you think you're going to be coming up to God one day so proudly? God, look at all the wonderful things I did for you. No, we're going to fall at the face of fall at the feet of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll just glory in His presence for what a wonderful Savior He is, for saving dirty sinners like me. We'll have nothing to glory in, but to glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day that'll be. We can stand before Him if we've put our hope in Christ, if we've put our faith in Christ. We won't stand in glory in the presence of God and how good we were. We won't be able to boast of our own righteousness. Our only hope is Jesus. No man can honestly stand before God without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our record to cover our sins. Only through Christ can we stand before God complete. Only through Christ can we stand before God forgiven of our sins. Remember something I mentioned, that the Bible speaks of two judgments. Two judgments. We read of the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation. And it will come one day when God will judge all the unbelievers, and they'll be judged for their sins. And truthfully, because they've rejected God's Son, Jesus Christ. But there is also coming a second judgment that we refer to as the judgment seat of Christ. There is coming a day when God will judge and God will reward believers for their service and faithfulness for Christ. The only ones who will stand before God at this judgment are those who have been saved. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Those who have trusted in Him, that He's the rock of their salvation. Those who have placed their faith in Him and made Him the foundation of their life. The foundation for our Christian life, it's not our good works. The foundation for our Christian life is not our own righteousness. The only foundation that can be laid that can save a man is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read there in just a minute. Remember, it's not our own works and not our own righteousness that can save us. In Titus 3, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot stand before God on our own. We can't stand before God and boast of our own righteousness. We're all sinners that can only be saved by the incredible grace and mercy of God. He proved His immeasurable love for us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. This judgment seat of believers, this judgment seat of Christ for believers, what's it all about then? It's about God rewarding believers for their faithfulness to Him. At that judgment, God's not going to judge us for our sin, but He will judge us for our works. He will reward us for our labor for Him. Believers will be judged and rewarded. You see, after we get saved, God has called us to be workers together with Him, to be laborers together with Him. God, if God's only purpose was to save us and make us His child and take us home to heaven, He could do that the day He got saved. And it would seem to me that that would please God, because if God saved me and took me home to heaven, I would never sin again. I would never do anything that displeases my Heavenly Father. If it was just about God saving me and making me perfect and sanctifying me, taking me to heaven, He could do that the moment I believe and get saved. But He leaves me here on this earth with a purpose. He leaves you here on this earth because there are things that God wants you to do. God wants you to be a worker together with Him and a laborer together with Him. He calls us to be the salt of the earth. He calls us to be the light of the world. We become ambassadors and representatives of Christ here on this earth. Corinthians tells us we're given a ministry of reconciliation to help reconcile sinners to God. We're called to be witnesses for Him. We're called to walk in His footsteps. We're to live upon this earth seeking to do the things that Jesus would do if He was here on this earth today. We're to live for Christ. We're to witness of Christ to others. We're to live for things that matter for eternity. We've been called, if I can say it this way, to build a wall of good works upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in our life. Remember, nothing else can save us. God's word is so clear on that. He is the foundation of our life. If you put your hope in Him and your faith in Him, He is the foundation, and nothing else can save you. But Ephesians 2, when it speaks of us being saved by God's grace and not by works, he goes on and says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." There are good works God wants you to do. There's a life that God wants you to live for Him. After you get saved, we're building a life that will one day either bring glory and honor unto the Lord, or a life of which we might be a little ashamed. Embarrassed. Can you imagine standing before God at that judgment? Understanding that our Savior is there, and you're going to see His nail-scarred hands. You're going to see the wounds in His hand, the wounds in His feet, the Savior who died for you. And God's coming and He's wanting to give His rewards to those that have been laborers with Him and those that have been faithful to Him. The Bible says our works will be tried by fire of what sort it is. And what if all our works, what if all the things that we live for as a Christian were just really just meaningless things? They were just things for ourselves. They weren't really things that mattered for Christ, weren't really things that mattered for eternity. The Bible says they'll all be burned up in the fire. And we'll have nothing to show for the life that we lived or were supposed to live for Christ. I think in that day we'll be a little ashamed, embarrassed that we did not live for Him. We need to be working for God's glory. We need to be working to bring honor to God with our life. Look what it said there in 1 Corinthians 3, if you have it, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." Do you know how Brother Joel will be rewarded? He'll be rewarded for his own labor. For his own labor. How did he labor for Christ? How did he serve Christ? What did he do to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord and be faithful for the Lord? He'll be rewarded for that. It says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Can I ask you something? What kind of life are you building for God's glory and honor? How is your building doing? How's your building doing? Is there a building going up? Is there anything getting built up for the Lord? Christ is the foundation in your life if you've been saved. But is there some walls being built? Is there something getting built, a life that's being built for the glory and honor of God? You'll be rewarded for your labor. Are you laboring with God? Are you serving Christ? Are you living for things that matter for eternity? When we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll only be because of what Christ has done for us and because we by faith have received Him. But if you've been saved, we're to love Him. 1 John tells us because He first loved us. Are you showing Christ your love? Are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? Going on there in verse number 12, it says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You put a fire to gold, silver, precious stones, it doesn't destroy it. But if you take a fire and put it to wood and hay and stubble, what happens? It's just going to all burn up. There's going to be nothing left. Listen, it's determined by what kind of life you're living now. Are you living for Christ? Are you serving Him? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, verse 14, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. You stand before God as a saved individual at that judgment seat of Christ. With there having truly been a time when you were born again and you were saved, then God says you will be saved, you'll be spared. You're not going to be one of those ones who's standing at the great right throne judgment and judged for your sins and cast in the lake of fire. You will be saved, but you're going to lose something. What are you going to lose? You're going to lose rewards. The Bible says if we've labored for Him and if we've served Him, and we will receive rewards. But if not, we'll lose that. We'll lose that. Let's labor for God. Let's live for God so that you'll not stand before God one day empty-handed and ashamed. Not stand before Him when He's passing out rewards and when He's giving out crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what? If we don't receive any crowns or receive any rewards from the Lord that day, we're going to have nothing to offer to Him. I think the truth is, in that day when we stand before Him, any crown we receive, we truly will want to just cast at the feet of Jesus. Because we understand just how unworthy we were and undeserving we were of His grace. But could you imagine there standing before Him, God, with nothing to offer Him? Because we just went through our life and we lived it for ourselves and we lived it for things that didn't matter. Let's live for Him. Let's live for Him. If you've truly been saved, you'll never perish. God says you'll never perish. God will never send you to hell. You have eternal life. But can I tell you this? You can lose rewards. You can lose rewards. I hope we'll be prepared to stand before God. We can't stand before Him in the time of judgment if we've never been saved. You first must be saved. And then if you truly want to be ready to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ for believers, we need to be busy living for Him, laboring with God, working for God, serving God, being faithful to God. You know as well as I do, there are many things that we should be doing to serve our Savior. Our life should not be wrapped up in ourselves. It should be lived for Him. And let's do that. Let's do that. Are you prepared to stand before God? You first need to be saved. And then if you have been saved, are you truly living for Him like you should? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.